Rent me not to stop. Great. So the recording has started. So the first person is Kenya from Bahamas, and the scripture Kenya has for us is Jeremiah 17:21, which is the foundational scripture for unveiling the image. So Kenya, could everyone else please mute their microphones, but keep your videos on. Keep your videos on. Mute your microphones. And Kenya, is over to you. So start with your planning. Let's know how you would apply it to your nation.
Okay.
Okay, so the floor is yours.
Jeremiah 9:17-21. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider and call for the mourning women, that they may come, and send for skillful wailing women, that they may come, let them make haste, and take up a wailing for us, that our eyes may run with tears and our eyelids gush with water, for a voice of wailing is heard from Zion. How we are plundered, we are greatly ashamed, because we have forsaken the land, because we have cast out of our dwelling. Yet hear the word of the Lord, O women. O let your ears receive the word of his mouth. Teach your daughters wailing, and everyone her neighbors of lamentation. For death has come through our windows, has entered our palaces to kill off the children, no longer to go outside, and the young men no longer on the streets. Okay, what I gathered from the scripture and reading it and applying it to here in the Bahamas. First of all, we as women, we have a mandate. God has given us a mandate. And for the Bahamas, here in the Bahamas, we have to go and reach out to other women. We have to let other women know this is what we are calling for. This is what God is calling for. He's asking for women such as ourselves. And we have to have an urgency about it. There's no time to waste. We cannot waste time. Over here, we have to reach out. Like, we have our people in church, other women in church that we know that we can get at. We need to encourage those women to cry out for our nation as well, because we as women, we are so strong. Pardon me? You can hear me?
One moment, Kenya. Can Galaxy Tab A please mute? Could everyone else please mute? You can go ahead, Kenya.
Okay. We as women, we are so strong. So God knows that as women, we can do this work. And so he has placed this on us. And so we here in the Bahamas, women, and a lot of the household, we have women as at the head of the house. We have a lot of women over here who are single parents, who bring up their children. So when you can find a mother, you cannot find a father. So in this way, I get it. God is saying he wants women who have a heart for him, who is crying out, who knows his wishes. So over here, we know we have to gather the women to get together to reach out to the others. Okay, it is a sense of urgency that we do this. Okay, when we look around, we see the children, the young ladies. We have teenage pregnancy. We have young girls doing prostitution for a living. We have young girls who are running away from home. On the news, we always hear that this person, this 14-year-old is missing, that person is missing. Usually they're shacking up with older male to that. So we know we have to get into the schools, get into the youth club, teach the children, let them know that their bodies are temples of the Lord. And we have to go out there and we have to apply this. We have to get in and get there to them and let them know that, hey, we as women, we are here for you. We know that we can talk to them and bring them in and bring them into the kingdom by teaching them the word. So as Wailing Women, we really have our work cut out for us in terms of getting up.
Does the believers be along with the sea that would be more than ready for their English counterparts?
Hi, Galaxy Tab. We can hear your background noise. Joycelyn, could you please make me co-host? Because I will be able to also control. We can still hear the background noise for Galaxy. Yes, Joycelyn, please make me co-host as well so that I can also manage the call. Thanks. You can go ahead, Kenya. Sorry about that. Hi, Kenya.
Hi, you can hear me?
No, we can only, we can now hear you.
Okay. As women, I feel we have failed. We have failed in so many areas. We have failed, I think we have failed God and what he put us here to do. And so I know.
Okay, you're breaking up. Okay, so Kenya is stuck.
Oh, his heart is aching right now because you said something? You can hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you, Kenya.
You can hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. We can hear you, Kenya.
Hello.
Hi, Kenya. Yes, we can hear you.
Hello.
Hi, Kenya. Okay. Hi, Kenya. We can hear you.
So God is saying that we have forsaken the land. If we look in verse 19, for the voice of wailing women are heard from Zion, how we are plundered, we are greatly ashamed because we have forsaken the land, because we have been cast out of our dwelling. So God is saying to us, listen here. You gave us this land for us to take charge of as women, and we haven't done what we were supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. Okay? And so he's saying to us, teach your daughters, like I said earlier, teach the children, teach the young ladies. So we have to teach the young ladies. And then he said, with the guys, we see so many young boys on the street. We have murders before the COVID-19, there was murders over here every other day, every week, we have murders. The young boys don't have guidance. They don't have fathers in their homes. And like I said, we have a lot of single parents with the mothers is in charge of the homes. So we have to gather our youth. We have to gather our young boys off the street. We have to go in the highways and the byways, and we have to get to them and spread the word. So as Wailing Women, we have our work cut out for us. Mm-hmm. Because if we don't, we won't have young men. We won't have any more young men because of the killing and the murdering that we have going on now.
Okay.
So basically, what we have to do as Wailing Women is get out there, get to our neighbors. Even our neighbors is not our next door neighbors. Everybody we meet is our neighbors. We have to spread the word, and we have to go out there as Wailing Women and will and do intercession, do for the young men, for the young women, and we have to teach them. So that's what I got from 17 to 21.
Yes, and that's a very practical application, especially as you made reference of Hi, can you hear me, Kenya? Kenya, can you hear me? Can everyone else hear me?
Yes, Ashley, I can.
I'm hearing you.
So it's just Kenya?
I can hear you.
Okay, so Kenya, can you hear me now? I think Kenya is having some problems.
Go ahead, Ashley. I'll report to her.
Okay. So I was saying, Kenya's application was very practical as it relates to Jeremiah 9:17-21, especially when she made reference of the daily murders in Bahamas. And then she was able to link it back to the fact that there's a lot of single parenting, fatherless homes, and we in the Caribbean can all attest to that. So, you know, it's not only specific to Bahamas because it happens in Barbados, you know? And what about St. Lucia? What about Trinidad? You know, what about Grenada? You guys would have to say to me, but it's the same thing happening here. So what Kenya was saying is that in that case, then we really need to get together and pray, and not only pray, but teach our children to pray, you know, and to involve everyone, because again, as we said on Tuesday, the greater the number, the stronger it is. You know, the more persons you have praying, the less persons you have fighting. You know, and the more prayers that are going up before the Lord, you know, he intervenes. There's more intervention because there's more agreement, right? So Kenya, we just want to thank you for your contribution. And it was good. It was good. It was very practical. And we could all relate to it in the various nations. So thank you very much, Kenya. So Sabrina's going to report back to Kenya if she doesn't hear. So good. So we're going to move on to the second scripture. This is, I am seeing here, Teresa from St. Lucia. First Corinthians 1, 26-31. So the floor is yours. Yes.
Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 said, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish thing of the world to confirm the wise, and God have chosen the weak things of the world to form the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, which God chose, ye and things which are not, to bring to nothing that are, that no flesh should glorify in his presence, but of him ye are in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and satisfaction and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorifieth, let us glory in the Lord." Amen. And as my explanation, I can see in that the scripture is telling us, as willing women and willing men of God, he called us to bring the mandate. When God calls us, we cannot say we cannot do it. We like a lot of us feel, some of us feel that we are not educated enough to do it. But as the scripture said, he taking the foolish thing to confirm the wise. God is calling us as his battle axe to go in the world and preach the word, to pray for the nation, to pray for the family. In St. Lucia, we have many, like my sister just said, they have a lot of murder young men out there smoking, doing all kind of things. Some of them single parents who has no father to guide them. So we as willing women has to go and minister the word to them and be a mother to them, be a father to them, a guideline to them. As willing women and sons of God, we have to do it. That's what he called us to do. And God chose us. And we have to do the mandate because he gave Moses a mandate to take the children out of Israel to bring them to the promised land. So that's the same thing God gave us, a mandate to take them out from bondage and bring them to liberty. So we cannot say that we don't have the ability to do it as children of God, as women of God. We has to do what God called us to do. Amen.
Oh, amen. Dark and sweet. As it relates to 1 Corinthians 1, 26-31, so she hit the nail right on the head. As it relates to, some of us may feel as though we are not qualified, but the Lord said, you know, he's going to use the foolish things to confound the wise. You know, so many balls down. It's not by might nor by power. It's by his spirit. And, you know, even as he has given us the mandate to do, we have to go out and do. Teresa said, right, the mandate was given to us. You know that you were going, you would take men into captivity. And as I mentioned again on Tuesday, we know captivity is not just prison, you know, physical, but there's spiritual and emotionally. And the only way we can do it is through connecting with the Lord, you know? It is spirit to spirit. So we must come out of that place which says that we are not enough. I understand that it is the Lord that has chosen and has called and chosen us to go forth and to do. The word of God says that we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works from the beginning, from before the beginning, that we shall walk in them. And we will walk in them in Jesus' name. Again, he's not concerned with credentials. It is the heart, and it's the heart of obedience. So even as Teresa mentioned again, I hope she referenced the same thing that is happening in Bahamas. It's basically the same in St. Lucia. And so it's not good enough for us to say that we cannot, you know, but we have to go forth and trusting the Lord at his word, you know, go forth, believing that, you know, he would go before us and that he would make a way for us. You know, and that he will bring healing to our land and to the people in the land. So Teresa, we thank you for that. Thanks for your input. It was short and sweet. So we will now move on to the third person I have here, Chanel.
Yes.
Dad.
Yeah.
This is Jeremiah 51:20-23.
Correct.
Yes.
Hi, everybody. So I'm going to read it. Jeremiah, are you hearing me clearly?
Yes.
Okay, good. So Jeremiah 51:20-23, you are my battle axe and weapons of war. For with you, I will break the nation in pieces. With you, I will destroy kingdoms. With you, I will break in pieces the horse and its rider. With you, I will break in pieces the chariot and its rider. With you also, I will break in pieces man and woman. With you, I will break in pieces old and young. With you, I will break in pieces the young man and the maiden. With you also, I will break in pieces the shepherd and his flock. With you, I will break in pieces the farmer and his yoke of oxen. And with you, I will break in pieces governors and rulers. So for me, context is very important when I study the Bible. So at this particular time that this was written, Judah was in exile in Babylon. And the Babylonians were notorious for being wicked people. They were very strong, a strong empire. They had a lot of resources. They had the army power, they had everything. So when they cut, they came in on the nation, they just cut, they chopped down everything. They just came in and destroyed everything, took all the people. So in this particular chapter 51, Jeremiah, the Lord was prophesying through Jeremiah about the judgment that was coming to Babylon, right? So verse 23 says, "You are my battle axe and weapons of war." So when I heard that, immediately I thought of and something I want you all to remember or memorize. This is something I say to myself from time to time. I am in the hands of the Lord. I am a lethal weapon. So that's what I thought about when I heard battle axe. So remember this: in the hands of the Lord, you and I are lethal weapons. So I first asked myself the question: what on earth is a battle axe? Obviously, an axe is used to do what? Chop things down, right? It is a weapon of war. I went to look at the Hebrew meaning of that word battle axe there, and it means the English translation is a war club. So I was like, what is that? So when I went to look up what a war club was, it was a weapon of war. And when I looked at the pictures, it's made of different material, but it's this, and it's shaped differently depending on who is using it, which set of people using it. But the main thing that was consistent in all of the pictures, that there was a sharp thing pointing out of this war club. So when they go to swing like this, you know, you'll get a nice clean cut. So, yeah, that's who we are. We are battle axes. And I want you to remember again, in the hands of the Lord, you and I are lethal weapons. So just like Teresa was saying, some of us think that we're uneducated. That don't matter. It doesn't matter that you're uneducated or whatever. It doesn't matter. In the hands of the Lord, you and I are lethal weapons, right? So I went to the needs of our nation, Trinidad and Tobago. Just like Barbados and Lucia, we have the same thing with the young men. They're just dying like flies. Left, right, and center, gangs, drugs, partying. And so there is like a harvest, I believe, of men that is out there that need to be reaped, for sure. We have domestic violence, both in the church and outside of the church. We have incest, sexual abuse. We also have our elections coming up. That's a big thing right now. Elections coming up. We need prayer. Then we have the church issues. We have a lot of church politics. We have people more interested in their titles more than God. And there's a need for the church to rise up and be who God has called us to be. So what can I do? What can you and I do? Well, these are some general things that I wrote. Be faithful to my watch. All of us, we have different watch times. And I know it seems maybe not insignificant, but we need to be faithful to our watch times. That we show up on time and we do exactly whatever the Lord would have us to do in that particular watch. And even if for us in Trinidad, we have particular prayer points for the specific watches. But we also have to be very alert in the spirit that when you go on your watch, the Lord may say, hey, I want you to touch on this. I want you to look at this today, deal with this in prayer today. So I think we need to be faithful to our watch, and we need to stay alert in the spirit. And also outside of your watch or watch time, God may say to you, I want you to pull aside and jump on the wall. I need you to pray about this particular thing. Also pay attention. You can pay attention to the news, newspapers, pay attention to things that come into your purview. God would have you intercede specifically on, right? The next thing I said was, I as a battle axe, I need to watch the words that I speak over my nation. This is very, 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 very important. We have, because we are legislators, right? God has called us willing women as legislators, battle axes. So what we see over our nation, it affects it. So we have to be very careful about the words that we speak over the nation. Be careful that we always have God's perspective on a situation and speak what heaven says, speak what God says, right? The next thing is be aware of the particular mountain that God has called you to. So God has called each of us to different mountains, maybe education, arts and entertainment, government, politics, business. Some may be called to one mountain, others may be called to more than one, but be aware of the mountain that God has called you to and what your role is on that mountain, right? Next, be alert and obedient to random assignments God may give you. So again, we really need to be alert and awakened to whatever the Spirit of God is saying. He may give you a specific assignment. So for instance, last year, in my particular chapter, the Lord gave me an idea. Because I'm a singer, I'm a worshiper. One of the things I do is I sing over stuff. I sing over people, I sing over myself, right? And I'm aware that when I open my mouth to sing, what happens, you know, atmosphere changes. So last year, the Lord gave me an idea to do what we call Sing Over Sando. San Fernando is my chapter, Sando for short. So what we did, we went in the middle of the town or area, and we had, all we did was worship and intercede. That was it. And that was like the instruction. So we just worship. We had different sets, and in between we had people intercede. So we were basically singing over the city of San Fernando. So that's just one example. So be aware of random assignments that God may give you. Be aware, be alert, stay alert, and be obedient. The last thing is that there is a possibility that God may also lead you to do something physically about whatever the need is in your nation. It may be to start a business. It may be to start a nonprofit organization. And I'm thinking particularly of one of our waiting women here in Trinidad. She recently started a foundation for children, I think, who can't pay for medical expenses or something to that effect. The Lord birthed that in her. And so she just started that up. So I don't know, whatever it may be that God may lead you to do, it may seem very simple. He may tell you to open a shop. When you open your shop has a lot of people coming through, and you never know, you may get a chance to talk to somebody and minister to somebody or some young people or something. That's basically it. We have to remember in the hands of the Lord, you are a lethal weapon. God has called us to cut down. So there's a lot of, behind all these needs that we have, there's a lot of principalities and powers and spirits working behind the scenes doing all kind of craziness. And we can't afford to sit back and let them do their craziness. We are his battle axes. Amen.
Okay, so now shared a lot with us. It was a lot of pertinent information, very important. So I was doing my own little notes too as I went through. Obviously, we'll have to go through all. So when I got to this particular scripture, what came to me was the fact that we were catalysts for change. So we would be the catalyst. The Lord would bring change through us. And there's something that stood out well. Everything Chanel mentioned was very important and very detailed, you know, about keeping your watches, and it's very true, it's real. But what really stood out to me was the point where you mentioned about being very careful about what we speak over our nations.
Yeah.
Because we are not only legislators, the Lord said that willing women are prophetic legislators.
Correct.
So our words carry weight. So that's the same thing I mentioned again on Tuesday. We have to be very careful about what we say about our leaders, remembering that the word of God says that every government that has been set up by him. which means it's a purpose. So the most important thing to do would be to go to the Lord and ask, what's the purpose here? You know, what's going on? You know, show me how to pray. Even as you spoke about watches, understanding your watches, understanding watches and praying through watches is a very, it is like a weapon again, you know? It's very useful understanding the watches and how to pray through them, et cetera, and what you're supposed to do in the particular watches and what the particular watches mean, et cetera. It's very important. The Barbados team, we do watches, you know, as the Lord leads, you know, because you don't want it to become routine either.
Yeah.
So as you're led by the Lord, because it is a prophetic move. And the Lord had us watching through, I think it was March, and that's when the corona really started to show its face in the Caribbean. And I believe that the Lord really used that season, that period, to do some things in Barbados. And the thing about it, the good thing about it is that you actually see the physical manifestation of the results, you know, of having been, you know, of having been deliberate, you know, to go to the Lord at these particular times. And obviously, there would be different teams. Well, in Barbados, it would be different chapters. The different chapters were assigned different watches. So, like, basically, someone is praying. It's like someone is praying, like, 24 hours. You have people praying constantly. Right. You know, just beating it, just beating it, just beating. And you see the difference. And you think about it, and you hear the Lord clear as day. As long as you are deliberate, you know, he honors that deliberateness. So, Chanel, everything that you said, I try to make as much notes down as possible. It was really good and it's very useful. And we are lethal weapons in the hand of the Lord, it is true. And the Lord has called willing women his battle axes, you know? And so the Lord will bring change through us. And again, Chanel even mentioned certain situations in the church, in the body, you know, and we see these things and we just can't say, well, what do you could do? All of these Christians. No, you got to pray.
Yeah.
Bring change. You got to pray because you see these things. Remember that everybody is going through their process, everybody working out the salvation. So we need to really pray for each other. And the thing about it is not speaking down about them or not cursing them with your tongue.
Yeah.
But it's declaring life. And it's not always easy. I will be honest. It's not always easy when you see nonsense. So again, it's about being deliberate and just declaring life. And this season, what I did, I actually, as you were speaking, I sent the 2020 prophetic word into the chat. So I'm not too sure who has the prophetic word. We really should have it. Everyone should have access.
Yeah.
Put it directly into the chat. So if you don't have it, you can just pull it from the chat and save it to your computer or wherever. Because the prophetic word in this season basically speaks about your words carrying weight in this season, that this is a season of the word. Like last year, the 2019 prophetic word said to us that we needed to study the word, not just read it. Study the word. And in this season, the Lord is saying to us, declare the word. He said that, you know, his word would be the measure, the instrument, you know, in our families, you know, that everything should line up with the word, you know, be careful. He said, don't speak anything vague or don't speak vague in this season, because whatever you sow, you will reap in this season. So you have to sow life. So he's saying, you know, speak life. So you're going to know the word of God ready to speak it. So even as Chanel mentioned, that came right back to me, because like the Lord spoke to me about that. And he was like, Ashley, because let me tell you, you know, this season has really been trying. And the Lord was like, Ashley, remember, watch your words. Remember what he said about your words. Remember what he said about this season. It's like a battle of words. So it's like the enemy coming to say, have the Lord said? You know, just what he said to Adam and Eve, have the Lord said? Yes, Jesus said. So he went, sure, he said. This is what he's saying. This is what he's going with. So it's like, there are so many things that we see in this season that if you just live with the natural eye, it will cause you to crumble. But what's important is in this season is what the Lord says, what the Lord has said concerning you, concerning your family. Like in this season, the Lord is saying to us that it's not to focus on your family. Now, we know from the reports that with COVID-19, there has been like a lot of restrictions. So everybody is at home now. So they say domestic violence, you know, on the increase, this on the increase, this on the next. But yet the Lord said that this is the season to do what? Focus on the family. He says, build me an altar of praise and I will reopen your wells. Well, well does going water. And we know what water means in the spirit is something good to life, right? So like these are the things that, you know, when we see stuff happening, you know, that we will go back to the Lord and say, Lord, but this we've said, oh, Lord, you said there's a season to focus on the family. So how is it then that domestic violence in, on the increase, you know, the head time that husbands and wives and children have to be in close quarters, you know, why is it then that this is, no. Lord, you said this, you know, this is your desire as it relates to family. This is your desire. You said in your word, in the prophetic word, you said you have already given us the structure of family in your word. This is what you say. This is what, you know. So it's like going back to the Lord because it's the word. It's a battle of words in this season. And even as I speak to you, I speak it to myself. It's a battle of words in this season. So we must know the word of the Lord and we must declare it, you know, over our nation, over our family, over the church, all these things we must do. Right? So Chanel, thank you very much for your input. That was very good and very thought-provoking. It caused me to think a lot. It provoked enough thoughts. So thank you very much. Thank you very much. So we're now on to number 4, which is Ramona. So Ramona, you are Isaiah 32:9-15. The floor is yours.
Yes. Okay, I read in the scripture from 32:9-15. Rise up, ye woman that are at ease. Hear my voice, ye careless daughters. Give ear unto my speech. Many days and years shall be troubled. Ye careless women, for the vintage shall fail, the gathering shall not come. Tremble, ye women that are at ease. Be troubled, ye careless ones. Strip up and make your bier, and gird sackcloth upon your loins. They shall lament for the tits. For the pleasant field, for the fruitful vine, upon the land of my people shall come up thorns and briars, yet upon all the houses of joy in the Judges' city, because the palaces shall be forsaken, the multitude of the city shall be left, the forts and towers shall be for dance forever. A joy of wild asses, a pasture of flocks, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. 15. Now, Isaiah 32, from 9-15, mm-hmm. talking about women. He speaks about women that are self-satisfied and self-complacent. It's like they reclining upon couches at their ease. Now, Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, bids them or command them to stand up to hear a message from God. Blessed times shall be brought in by pouring out of the Spirit from the high. So this is in 15. where the Lord will pour out his spirit from high. Now, I was a little despondent on this about women. Okay, I understand, and as we know, we have to speak good things about all human beings. There are many negative things taking place right now in every nation. And there is no difference in Venezuela, because the nation of Venezuela is facing hardships. So it's really the reality. So I believe this, what he's speaking about, is very rampant in my nation right now. We see women are the weapon, are the backbone of society right now in Venezuela. Mm-hmm. Men have abandoned their homes, abandoned their families. Many have been, have left and wives by themselves and go to other places as refugees to be able to support the family. So it really a challenge for women in my nation. Men are also, those who remain are involved in wicked acts. They are into drugs, alcohol, you name it, many other things. They have given into temptation, and we see a call as one of the churches say in Revelation, the heart of man was cold. It's cold, and this is what is the situation right now in my nation. People are surviving. Women are really battling to stay afloat, to be able to raise their kids without no finances. So it's really hardship, hard hardship. And when you talk to them and you hear them, you feel for them. And one of the things that we learn from this is that the complacency is rampant. The procrastination is rampant. The laziness, after a while, is rampant. You do little or nothing. So for women is struggling, they are frustrated, they are discouraged. So then in addition to that, we see the church of Jesus Christ is not of help. It really not helping either. Because everybody's just taking care of themselves. So it's selfishness multiplied. Mm-hmm. And that's what is rampant. Everybody's taking care of themselves and surviving. So they don't care about anybody else or anything else. Not even the nation. Because really and truly, that is something that is secondary. So that love for the nation as it was before. So I also understood the loss of the eye of, that is in 1 John 2:15-17, have taken really complete control. And that the love of the flesh and the is rampant, and the love to the Father, our God, is not there. Many have decided to leave their first love and go after false gods, after worshiping idols in addition to witchcraft, which is very rampant. So Satan really and truly had taken a hold of the nation. And through temptation, he has grabbed the people of my nation. One of the things that he speaks about there is the women to come out from complacency, to come out from procrastination, to come out from where they are, to listen to the message of God, to listen to God, to listen to God, to repent, to turn from their wicked ways so that this land could be healed. Now, as 1 Chronicles 7:14 says, this is one of the things that it should be done. But then we are doing, a few people are doing, and we know few people are doing and working hard to change things. But because of the remnant that is there and has hearts had worked cold because of all so much oppression, so much hardships and so many things, especially the finances not there, the food is not there, the water is not there, the electricity is not there. So it's so many things that I sit down and I minister to them and I say, well, do not despair. We know that things happen. We know things are really challenging, but we need to wake up and we need to do our part. And if we all encourage one woman, if we all encourage someone and we pray for someone, then we win one soul and we win one person who will be interceding for the nation. And so far, this is what we have been doing. This is our strategies to get them on the phone, on WhatsApp, on any media, social media, and start bombarding them with positive thinking, with the word of God, and with what the Lord said, that His Spirit is with us, and that the Holy Spirit is the one that will help us to press forward and to accomplish. And this is in 15, this is what he's saying, that when the Holy Spirit comes, it will empower us and it will allow us to reach heights in the Lord and be able to accomplish the will of God in the nation and in our lives. So the wailing woman there had been really taking a big, big responsibility. And I hear every day, it's not possible. We have too much. We cannot do this. We cannot do that. Oh my goodness. I am the coordinator. So I start telling them, don't think that. Think that you can. You start with a small, it's one grain of sand, and that grain of sand plus another grain of sand will amass, and we will have what we need, and we will accomplish the will of God. So this is what I gather from Isaiah 32:9-15.
Amen. So that's very good, Ramona. Again, based on the scripture, again, you hit it on the head as it relates to connecting it to your nation. You said that there's a challenge for the women because, again, of the men not being there, not taking the place. And so the women have come to the place now where they are frustrated to the point of complacency. But again, you said, because what you're doing is very good. You know, it's this I think the evangelism team, they have this, each one reach one, each one reach one.
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
And again, to just encourage them with the word of God, which is basically what we were just talking about again, about this season being the season of the mouth, the season of the word, you know, just declaring life. Because we know that the word of God carries life. Yeah. You know, so I encourage you, you're doing a wonderful thing in that you're reaching out to at least just one woman. You know, and it was spread, the multiplier effect, I think is what they call it in economics. So that is wonderful, because that's exactly what the scripture is speaking about. It's saying, you complacent daughters, get up and do what you have to do. You know, but even as Ramona mentioned, it's as it relates to Venezuela, the complacency it didn't come about from a place of laziness, really. It came about from a place of frustration, right? But it's still complacency. When you look at it, and the Lord does not want us to be complacent. You know, I was discussing this scripture with a friend of mine, and she was saying to me, when she sees the scripture, what comes to mind is persons who may be living, you know, you're living well, you know, everything is well, so you don't have any worries, you know, you have your children, they're in private school, you whatever, so you're on the outside looking in, and it's like, okay, everything is well, okay, I don't have those worries, like, you know, until your child goes out on the road and someone robs them.
Mm-hmm.
So it still ends right back up at your doorstep.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So you don't have it's not an option to be complacent. Basically, that's what I'm trying to say. It's not an option. We can't be complacent. So we have to pray. We have to pray for each other. We have to pray for our nation. You know, even as Ramona said, you know, just reaching out to these women, partnering with them, you know, connecting, encouraging them, you know, declaring life over them. You know, we can't be complacent. But that was very interesting, because I was really looking at complacency from the place of being lazy, you know, just not doing. But this is not from that. This is from a whole other, the women have become complacent because of the position that they have been forced to take, of the men not being there to take their role. And so now they had to take up the role. And so it's now a place of frustration leading into complacency. So thank you for sharing that with us, Ramona, as it relates to what's going on in Venezuela. Thank you very much. Thank you. Food for thought.
Yeah.
We're going to go on to the next person. I have here, it's Brenda Lee. Brenda Lee is J7.
Yes, I am.
Mamas. And you are Isaiah 41. No, sorry. 41. No. You're Isaiah 58.
58 and 12.
Right. You're 58 and 12 because, right, I gave the 41 to Fran. Fran, are you here? I saw Fran came in earlier. Okay. Well, let's go on to Brenda Lee. Good. So you're Isaiah 58.
Isaiah 58 and 12.
Yes.
And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste place. Thou shalt raise up the foundation of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the paths to dwell in. And you gave me that scripture last night, and I checked it while you was giving everybody else that scripture. I smiled.
Good.
I smiled for more than one reason. God has been dealing with me with the scripture, because he has given me an anointing to watch the gates. Okay. I'm a gatekeeper. And for me, where I'm I am strategically placed in San Salvador.
Okay.
In the Bahamas. For more than one reason. And I feel that we here in San Salvador, which is a part of the Bahamas, has to repair the foundation and build back up what was destroyed over many generations so that the glory of the Lord can come back. And we have to go as far back to Christopher Columbus. Mm-hmm. We were the first port he stopped when he made his first journey into the New World. I found since COVID, there was a lot of things in my prayer time the Lord is having me to deal with, far as breaking off the foundation, that which is not godly. And because Jesus is the foundation, this I look at him as the steel in the foundation. Because if you don't have any steel in your foundation, you don't have anything for your house to sit on. But how we build upon that base of foundation from there till we get to completion of our house, it's a total difference. Because you can have that steel in your building, footing, in the footing. When you start building from that footing up on your foundation, you can warp your foundation. So in the spirit realm, I feel like God is calling us as railing women, especially in San Salvador, to do prayer, fasting, and spiritual warfare. That we'll ask the Holy Spirit, what's in the foundation or what's built on that foundation that needs to be removed? Mm-hmm. And when we remove it, what are we to replace it with? What are we to build that house back up with? And Kenya was the first person that ran out the gate. And she talked about a lot of things. The single parents. I am a single parent. The robberies and the killing and all of that. But it just didn't happen overnight. I think you alluded to we reap what we sow. And that's what I'm sensing. I've been getting in the spirit realm as the Lord was dealing with me with this scripture and going back into remove off the foundation that should not have been there. Or what we put there that is not godly. Because our constitution and our in the Bahamas declare us a Christian nation. So when we close out, when we started our country, first with Columbus, and the way he treated the people he met here, and then when we go on into, we went into slavery, we went into bootlegging, we went into drug trading, and all of these things brought violence, murder, guns, promiscuous lifestyle. A lot of single parents because women for money slept with guys who had it running drugs and have money. And many of them are in jail. Many of them died under the gun. If you live by the sword, you die by the sword. So we have a result of children that needs to be healed. So we need the spirit of repair our generation, many generations, by asking the Lord to send the spirit of Elijah to us and raise up godly men to father our young men and our young women, godly men and women. Because if we are going to rebuild that which we break down, we must rebuild it according to God's blueprint. First in the spirit, then in the natural. Because we can pray and we can go out there and be witness. And a lot of times we don't see the effect because we are dealing with some stronghold being around us for ancients of days. So we need the Holy Spirit to tell us how to go back there, remove it, and replant it with the will of God for such a time as this. Mm-hmm. And we could restore the breach. We repair it and restore it. For a part to dwell in, for our street to be safe again, for our communities to be safe again. And I liken it to Nehemiah. When Nehemiah got the word about the condition of his people and the walls being broken. At that time, walls fortified them, fortified their city, fortified their surrounding. And if their walls and their gates were broken down, then they were not safe. And Nehemiah, God gave favor, first with the king, and then favor with the people. Mm-hmm. So for us, we must understand that when we start repairing, redigging, and repairing for restoration to come, we're going to have some Tubalas and some Balas. We can have them. We're going to have the Judas. But we must stay focused in prayer. They will go to the extent like they did with Nehemiah and pay for our prophet. But we must be so discerning because we have a relationship and we spend time with our daddy. And we know his voice, and we know the mandate and the instruction that he has given us. We will not detour like Nehemiah didn't detour. So once we have done that in the spirit realm, then it opened the doors. We will go out and evangelize and take our street back and take the guns back and love our children. But it must be done in love. It must be done in love. We must have the spirit of Elijah with us, turning the hearts of the fathers back to the sons and the mothers back to the daughters. So we have a lot of repenting to do, not only for our own self, but also for our ancestors, and then move on to repair. For me, like I said, I'm a single mother, so I had to go back and repent, because one, I was out of order, but God has everything in his control. He permits. But two, again, I've learned the power of my tongue and the words I choose. Because as a single mother, when I said to myself, very stage at 25 and I'm not married, I want one son with no string attached to his father. I just want child, Lord. I was not a Christian. I did that. And it manifested just how I said it. At 25, I got conceived with my son. I had my son. I left his father when I was 3 months pregnant. But the pain, because I end up with a sickly child. I had to fight for his life in prayer and fasting for 27 years of his life. But again, I had to go back and redone. I placed that on the foundation. So I had to go back and remove it and then place it back with what the word of God said about my seed. He's a fruitful olive trees around my table. He is saved because I am saved. Mm-hmm. And just continuously do it and in love do it. So I feel for us here in San Salvador and in the Bahamas, and we'll spring out all to the Caribbeans and all through the world. But we need to go back and sackcloth and ashes and ask God first to show us where we went wrong in building on our foundation. That's not only us as a person, but our government, our churches, our families, our communities. Because you can see stronghold based on different things that people did in your community. You can see certain trade-off things. Mm-hmm. And You know, we to the point where I've been praying, Lord, close the number house down. Close them down and give them another business idea that would bring glory to your kingdom. Still employ people, but let it be a righteous business. Close the barroom down, Lord. But slowly, we already saw two number houses close in our communities. We saw barrooms close in our communities and still has not opened back up. But we're still praying and believing that all will be closed and God will give those owners good ideas that will build up a community, turn them into youth centers or homework classes rooms and stuff where we can train and teach our children through godly principle while we teach them the everyday thing they need to know educationally. So I feel that this was slap in my lap because this is my assignment. Even though I'm new to Veiling Women, I'm very, very new to Veiling Women. But when I start reading about Veiling Women, I don't have any of my books yet. I don't have anything yet. But I have some things that were sent to me by Pastor Ivy online. And when I start reading some of those material, all I did was sit and laugh. And I said, now, Lord, I know I am called to this ministry for such a time as this. So let's continue to pray for one another, and you'll continue to pray for me that I will stay on the wall. I'll complete my mandate.
In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 The word of God says, I know there is condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. You know, and even son, your son, we agree with you. The word of God says the fruit of the womb is a blessing from him. You know, the offspring of reward. You know, God is good. Amen. 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 And so, yes, again, that was a good presentation. So you really hit the nail on the head with that one as well. And repairing the breach and dealing with the foundations. And a lot of people destroy foundations, but as we destroy, you know, you got to replace. As you remove, you got to replace. And the only way you could do is by, as you said, you know, going to the Lord and asking him, you know, what is it in the foundation? Show me, you know, tell me. So that, you know, even as I deal that, it will be, again, hitting the nail on the head, that you won't be all over the place, but you will be dealing directly with the situation, and the Lord will tell you exactly how to deal with it. And as you were speaking, it reminded me too of the scripture that says that there is only one foundation, and that foundation is laid in Christ Jesus, you know, and that's the foundation that we have to build on. Yeah, so, you know, everything you said, and even going right back, you know, and, you know, God is something else, you know, is many parts, one body. So the fact that you were even able to just go right back to Christopher Columbus. A lot of people is dealing with their bloodline. You know, they don't do it at that level. But having that understanding is only from the Lord. You know, it's wisdom. And the word of God says the wisdom of God is from above. You know, and our desire is that as he speaks, that we will hear him saying, you know, clear, clear, clear. Actually, this is the way, walk in it. You know, this is the way. The word of God says that the steps of the righteous are ordered by him. You know, that's a scripture. I can't understand that scripture. But then sometimes I would be in situations, and when I look back, it was like, you know, that's so true. I don't understand the steps of the righteous ordered by God, because like nothing I was doing back there made sense. But now that I see, it was like if you were going through a landmine and you were not even, you were oblivious of the fact, but the Lord was just carrying you through and you did not even know what was on your left or what was on your right. But it's just the Lord, you know, that was guiding you through and showing you. You know, so God is very, 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 very good. You know, he is redemptive. You know, it's his desire. And the Lord always chooses love. And he's very pleased You know, when he could find those that are willing to bridge the gap, he will give you the information and, you know, and everything, and equip you with everything that's required for you to accomplish it. So we give God praise. That's excellent. Thank you very much for that, Brandy. Thank you very much. We will move right on now to, it is, I have Claudette from Trinidad. So you are Isaiah 61, 1 to 4. Claudette, you're on mute. Claudette, I think Claudette is stuck. The screen seems to be stuck.
I'm coming on.
Oh, good, good, good.
Good.
So you're
praise
you're,
the Lord. Good night to everyone.
Good.
I give God praise for this opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
It's my first time with you all on this session like this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I give God all the honor and the glory. I would read Isaiah 61, 1 to 4. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord had anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He had sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old waste. They shall raise up the former desolation, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was going through it, you know, and when I remember Jesus at the age of 12, he went into the synagogue and he pulled the scrolls and he read Isaiah 61, 1 to 2, and he closed the scroll. Glory to God. And we see that he went to the cross, he died, shed his blood. It was for a purpose. To buy us back unto God, because we were lost. We were not a people. We were on our road to destruction, hell. But God, in his infinite wisdom, mercy, and love, he prepared Jesus to come and die in my place, and the place of all those who will receive him as their Lord. And he brought healing. He preached love, the love of God. He demonstrated it. Glory to God. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. Those that were brokenhearted, those that had deaths in their family, received their dead back to life because of the spoken word, because Jesus is the word from in the beginning. The word was with God and the word was God. Glory to God. So he came and he brought good tidings. He had sent, you know, he's saying that his father sent him to bind up the brokenhearted. There were people that was, you know, rejected and lied upon, cheated upon, and they were sick in their heart, Her heart was broken. And Jesus brought, you know, he healed their brokenheartedness. And he proclaimed liberty to the captives. He set them free. He just speak the word, be free. And they were free. Glory to God, because he is God in the flesh. And the reopening of the prison to them that are bound. There were people that was bound, tied up, couldn't see their way. But Jesus opened the prison doors and he set them free. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God. To comfort all that mourn. And the year of the Lord, it was like at that time you were given freedom. If you owe anybody debts, the debt was pardoned, so you were free. And we see that we had a debt. Glory to God. And that debt was sin. And no way we could have paid that price. But we thank God for God sending Jesus to die in our place. So we had freedom. We had life again. Glory to God. And the day of vengeance, now he put before you life and death. And he said, choose whom you will serve this day or what you will do with this gift. The gift of life, the gift of salvation, the gift of healing. What would you do with it? And if you reject, then the vengeance of God will come down. The wrath of God will come down upon you. If you reject Jesus, to comfort all that mourn. And we know that Jesus really comforted people. Glory to God. And as I read on, you know, read on in the third verse, Jesus had gotten instructions, he had gotten a mandate, he had gotten a command to do, and he did it well. But you know, in the Bible says that, you know, greater works, you know, I do good works, I do great works, but greater works ye shall do, because the Father sent me, and now I will send you. So as wailing women of Trinidad and Tobago, We are the ones that God has put upon his spirit. He has put his spirit upon us. And he has commissioned us. He has anointed us. And he has given us the mandate to go. Go and preach. Go and tell. Go and make disciples. Go and be like Paul. Be fishers of men. Is it Paul or Peter? Anyway. Peter. Is it Peter?
Peter. Mm-hmm.
Peter. Okay, sorry. So Peter was a fisherman, and the Lord said, I will make you fishers of men. So God wants us as wailing women to be fishers of men. And I'm saying men, because the men need Christ. We need our husbands, we need our sons, we need our nephews, we need men to come into the body. So God is saying, go. And they are meek, they are fragile, and they need us. They need our prayer. They need us to stand up in the gap, stand in the gap. And before we go out, we have to first take authority over the mountains and the spears, mountain of family, mountain mountain of nation, mountain of church, and God has given us that. And as I heard the sisters, and they were saying that we need to be obedient. We need to take responsibility because we have people watching at us. We are exemplars. So we must follow. If we want others to follow us as we follow Christ, we must first follow to the letter. We must first follow Christ, what he says. We must be obedient. And we know obedience is heaven's first law. Because when you disobey God, you will reap what you sow. Glory to God. So, as willing women, we must stand in for a nation, for a family, for church, for the neighbors. We are not discriminating, because each one of us need each other. So God has raised up willing women in this time, for such a time as this, because we are seeing a lot of murders, senseless, because some people don't deserve it, they don't do anything, but the wickedness of the devil and those who follow him don't like to see people live in love, live in harmony. So they bring sorrow. They want to kill you. They want to take your money. They want to rob you. They want to rape you. Imagine on the news in Trinidad this week, or is it last week? A 70-something years old man raped a little baby girl. Come on. And it is her grandfather. Imagine this. And we are seeing the times that we are living in, people don't have no fear for God anymore. They don't have no fear. They don't have no love. As the Bible says that, you know, in the last days, the love of many will wax cold. We've seen it even in our churches, glory to God. But sometimes we have to squeeze our lips together and say, Father, have mercy, because we cannot speak it. Glory to God. And we are saying that when we come together and we cry out, we travail in prayer as a woman bringing forth a baby. And that's not an easy pain, glory to God. We are not making the baby for ourselves. But as women on the world, wailing women that God has called to stand in the gap, we have to give birth to these babies for our family, our children, our young lady, our young men, even the old people. We got to travail, because some of them have not heard about Jesus yet. And this is why God has raised us up in this time as willing women to go forth under the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit in obedience, glory to God, humbling ourselves to see the work of God accomplished through us, that God will be glorified. Hallelujah.
Amen.
To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. We have to go to them, and we have to let them know that, hey, there's a way out. Look, you got to come and take this. Take Jesus. Follow his instructions. Look, we were there too. And we had to follow. We had to take the instructions. Yes, it's a process. Glory to God. Because he has to pull out the things in us that is not pleasing to him. He has to dig it out, root it out. And it's painful. Hallelujah.
Sister,
as my sister from the...
Sorry for interrupting, but could you round up for us, please?
Okay, not a problem.
Thanks.
For mourning and the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness, So we have to pray. We have to put on, the joy of the Lord is our strength. We got to put on the spirit of praise, the garments of the spirit of praise for heaviness. And then we will be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that God will be glorified. And they shall build the old waste. So God is calling us to lift up, build back up what was trodden down, raise up the former desolations, and we shall repair the waste cities, the desolation of many. And this is only, could only happen with prayer and dedication, glory to God, and unity and love, because God is love. Jesus is love. So I give God praise and I bless you all in Jesus' name.
Much. Thank you so much for that, Sister Claudette. Isaiah 61, 1 to 4.
Praise God.
It's about us going and doing. Sorry. Just give me a quick second. 61, 1, 4. Sorry. Good. So even as it said, the spirit of the sovereign Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim. The spirit of the Lord is upon us to go and to do, you know, us veiling women to bring the change. Sister Claudette spoke about different things happening within Trinidad, you know, and it is the spirit of the Lord that is upon us to go and to bring change, even as she mentioned in the church. And someone else too had also mentioned in the church. You know, and we see these things going on around us, and it's not okay for us just to, you know, be quiet, but you have to carry it before the Lord, you know? So it's really all, this scripture is just speaking about us going and doing. So Sister Claudette, again, put it together for us, you know? It was very practical, again. You know, the Lord has anointed us to go and to do. So again, we know the scripture, faith without works is dead.
Amen.
Scripture, right? So that is the same thing here. So it's not just about always, you know, like praying. You must pray and do. And even as I said on Tuesday, the Lord has several intercessory groups, you know, across the nations. But what is the difference? It's our obedience. And again, Sister Claudette mentioned that too, about it being the first principle, you know, in heaven is obedience. Right? So obedience, when obedience, there is a portion of doing. Well, doing is a part of obedience. That's what he wanted to say. Doing is a part of obedience. You know, not just hearing, just not listening, but also doing. So again, Sister Claudette, we thank you so much for that very detailed presentation. Sorry that I had to cut you short, because...
That's okay. That's all right.
We have a book.
You know, when you put a preacher to speak, you know, that's a time they lost track of time. That's all right.
I understand. No problem. But thank you so much for the details. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
You're most welcome.
Good, good, good. Okay, then. So we're going to go on now. It's Joel 2, 1 to 11. And that is Cheryl. Cheryl, you're there.
Okay, good night, everyone.
Good. Okay.
Good. So Joel 2, 1 to 11. Blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Like the morning clouds spread over the mountains, a people come, great and strong, like whom has never been, nor will there ever be any such after them, even for many successive generations. A fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns. The land is like the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Surely nothing shall escape them. Their appearance is like the appearance of horses, and like swift steeds. So they run with a noise like chariots. Over the mountaintops they leap, like the noise of a flaming fire that devours the stubble, like a strong people set in battle array. Before them, the people rise in pain. All faces are drained of color. They run like mighty men. They climb the wall like men of war. Everyone marches in formation, and they do not break ranks. They do not push one another. Everyone marches in his own column. And when they lunge between their weapons, they are not cut down. They run to and fro in the city. They run on the wall. They climb on the houses. They enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth quakes before them. The heavens tremble. The sun and the moon grow dark, and the stars diminish their brightness. The Lord gives voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For strong is the one who executes his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it? So the Lord is building an army. He's calling out an army. And he likens it to an army of locusts. So I want to just talk quickly about the behavior of locusts. They look like ordinary grasshoppers. And as people of God, we look ordinary. We look just like the other people. Yes? But they have big legs for hopping and jumping. God has equipped us with what we need to do what we have to do. They have a solitary lifestyle. A solitary lifestyle. Every man shall give an account of his own self. But during dry spells, they group by force. So when there's a famine, you have to group with other people, and that's how you will have. But when the rain returns, they produce rapidly, and they become even more crowded because the harvest comes with rain, because you have to plant and so on. When they group, they quickly change from solitary lifestyle to group lifestyle. So these locusts understand that when they're by themselves, they operate singularly. But when they get into the group, they have to go into the group lifestyle. They understand about sharing and being in unity with the others. And then they have an endurance that increases, and their brains get larger. And that means that they need to absorb the information and the strategies to get their work done. So God is saying to the church, blow the trumpet in Zion. Church, body of Christ in Trinidad and Tobago, cry out, sound an alarm. A day of judgment is coming. I have been watching what is going on in Trinidad and Tobago. You need to get serious, people. You need to get serious, church. Sound this alarm, because judgment is coming. God's army is ready to take action. This army is so large. Its very presence makes the day look dark like an overcast sky. This kind of army has never been seen before and will never be seen again. This army has a fiery presence in front and even in the rear, so that as the army advances, what looks like the Garden of Eden will soon look like barren desert. When they have passed, nothing is left untouched by this army. The soldiers look like horses. So they're strong, they're upright, and they run like war horses. They're so much and so skilled that they leap on the mountaintops. They sound like rattling chariots. It is like grass burning, forest burning. And they are prepared army. Their presence terrifies people. When this army of God comes forward, people are terrified by what they see. And so they get pale. Their face loses color. The soldiers in this army, they run like warriors. They climb like soldiers. They are trained. They march with focus, and they stay on course. They stay in formation. So trained are they that they do not crowd each other. You know, like people who don't know what they're doing, they're falling left, right, and center. No, no, no. They stay in formation. And even when they break down walls, they don't stop to rejoice or speculate. They stay in rank. They don't retreat. And when they fall by the sword, they don't get hurt. Because, you know, they're skilled in what they're doing. They rush to the city. They run along the wall. They climb into houses. They even enter windows like they're not like thieves. They're not seen when they take action. They're so discreet. And every opening they get is used to get the work done. Because of the size of this army, the earth shakes. And the sky shakes. And there's so much that they block out the light. When the locusts fly, when they fly, they cover the whole place. And we have seen it happen in Africa, in these places. This army has a commander who is Jesus Christ himself, Lord Sabaoth. And he shouts his orders to this army. And his forces are very large. And the troops that carry out his commands are mighty. And this is truly a terrible day. Now, the church has been called to sound the alarm of impending danger of judgment. And it is evident that if the church has to sound this alarm, then the church needs to get itself ready, because judgment must begin in the house of the Lord. Because when God called Samuel, he called Samuel and he told Samuel that he's going to deal with Eli and his children, because Eli and his children were doing rubbish in church. They were not doing the right thing. Eli's sons were sleeping with the women in the church. And so there are things going on in the church that God is not happy with. And so he's going to deal with that first. And the church must repent for themselves and then for the nation. If we as wailing women come out to pray for people, we must first get our lives in order. We must first repent for ourselves. The church should have been, God should not have had to call out the church to sound the alarm. The church should have been in battle warning the people all the time, because God has put them to do that. So they should have to tell the church to sound the warning. The church needs to be more stern with the preaching so that people would be aware of what happens when God is disobeyed. The church should also be grateful to God, who warns us before he does anything. So if we are in error, we too can make a reality check, and we need to do a reality check. The church is to be so focused that we stay focused on spreading the gospel. This is the mandate of the church, not our programs in church that we have, even though they might help us in what we do to keep those that are inside, but we need to focus on the mandate of spreading the gospel. The church must run to the city, which is the center of everything. Go on the wall, which is the place of defense, the houses, and even through the windows. Any opening that the church gets, the church should be able to go and access the people and warn them of salvation. So a death in the area, go to the wake, go to the funeral, go to the wedding, do everything. Go to every place, everything that has happened. It's an open door so that we can give salvation to the people and warn them about the danger of not being saved. The church must work knowing that our commander-in-chief is before us and behind us. That's why the fire is before and the fire is behind. And he's there until the job is completed. For he has given us the command to go and teach, change mindsets of people so they will obey his command. Trinidad and Tobago needs to call a serious fast, especially where we have an election coming. With the release to go back to church after COVID-19, we see that the aged must stay home. The aged people are the stable ones, the sober thinking one. And we see that the millennials are the ones that are being sent out. And so they need to be monitored. Even though they might be able to do some things, they need to be monitored. And so if the aged stays at home, there is no monitoring. And we need, because you see, there'll be more of a social gospel than the gospel of hell and damnation. And so we need to pray also that God's message continues to go as intended. And so, my God, I just give you praise that we will do what you want us to do. And Lord God, I thank you, O God, for the mandate that you have given us, that we will stay on course and, Lord God, not break ranks. So I just cover this world with the blood of Jesus. Thank you very much.
Amen. Amen. So the notes that I have here, they correspond. As I said here, calling the church to function, to pray and to function. Because the army of the Lord is rushing upon the city.
Amen.
Right? So that's basically what you said in a nutshell.
Yes.
But what jumped out to me is what you said here at the end. Want some clarity. So you mentioned that in Trinidad right now, the churches are opening back up, but it's only the aged have to stay home. Obviously,
because the older ones might be vulnerable, but it's a strategy, I think. I'm looking at it as a strategy.
So in Trinidad, because we are going to move on quickly, because we don't have much more time, but I just want to ask quickly. So you mean in Trinidad, is the government said this?
Yeah, that the eight ones stayed home.
Oh, okay.
I know we have because they're vulnerable.
Well,
so I think that we need you to still monitor, you know, what's going on. Because there is so much thinking ones.
Okay. Well, that's not a stipulation in Barbados. I know we have a lot of stipulations as it relates to the church and going back home or whatever. But that was not a stipulation. But again, when you said that, what came to mind again was the whole training, succession planning. Because if you train well, then not that you won't have to monitor, but you know what you will be putting out there. You would know the level at which your children, because you can call them your children, to be functioning. And, you know, as long as you train well, you won't have anything really to worry about. So
that's a good point.
Session planning is critical, you know, and training in the way that they should go. And there is even as I said that, it reminds me of a portion of the prophetic word again, where it is saying to the mothers, it's asking the mothers to basically, what was the word? It was saying, it was basically about grading yourselves to see if you are dutiful, to see if you are, to see whether or not you are doing what you're supposed to be doing, basically. And it's saying to use, it was using the Proverb 31 woman.
Yes,
because basically, you see, person, this is what you must do. Don't do this. Don't marry this. So it was saying to the mothers, basically, check yourselves and see if you are doing what you're supposed to be doing. You know, if you are training your children in the way that you should be training them, because it was even speaking about listening to your children. You know, hearing what they have to say. And then I guess you moving from there, but that's all in the prophetic word. So but as you were speaking, like different things were coming to me. So that's it there for me, basically. So I guess we can move on because we have like two more. And right now it's it's 8 o'clock.
Yes.
Well, 8 o'clock gone. So we could just move on quickly so that everyone gets an opportunity. Hebrews 12:12-17. That's Avanel from Bahamas. The floor is yours. But thanks, Cheryl.
I'm Hebrews. You hearing me?
Yes, please.
Okay, so I'm Trinidad, but I'm part of the Bahamas chapter. Long story. But anyway, so I'm doing Hebrews 12 and Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12-17. Wherefore, lift up the hand which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight. Oh, Jesus. I make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, and without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person or Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. One of the unique things about the Bahamas is that there's a parallel culture. Mm. So there is a very strong Haitian culture, and there's also the Bahamian culture that goes side by side. And there are those that you consider they are feeble because the migrants, they have left their home. They have left everything that was common to them, and they are in a country that is not their own. While they might be among their own, they are not their own. And so there is that sense of being feeble, and they are not always accepted, and they are not always loved or appreciated, even sadly by people who are Christians in the church. And of course, that's another story, because that's an indictment against Christians who cannot even love their brothers in the Lord simply because they are from another nationality. And I found that to be very, very, very painful for me to process, even to this day. And I pray that God will really bring something, because I think that is important for the healing of the land. Also, that feeble news is that, like, every year when the hurricane season hit, the islands, one of the islands generally in the whole grouping, they become feeble because a lot of times at least one island gets hit. Of course, everybody knew about Dorian, but there was Matthew, and there were all the different hurricanes throughout the year, and even as for the Bahamas, hurricane season is here, but also they are dealing with COVID, and then being a country that is heavily dependent on tourism, it is being, you know, the economy is being damaged. And then, of course, you have all the different spiritual dynamics, and the Bahamians will attest to the prophetic word that came forth even before Hurricane Dorian passed, where people said that God showed that the nation needed to repent. And verse 14 is interesting. It says, follow peace with all men. And I think that speaks about the nation within the nation, right? And then it goes on to say, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God or any root of bitterness. And there is a bitterness that exists between the two cultures that exist in the Bahamas, the Haitian culture. I mean, like, if you, it's not something that I guess people want to talk about, but I remember looking on the internet and even being in the Bahamas after Dorian, and here even Christians speaking about other human beings in a certain kind of a way. I mean, I know that God could not be well pleased, and there is scripture out scripture from Genesis to Revelation. God directs us how we should treat with the wayfaring stranger in Isaiah 58, a scripture that I guess everybody who's into prayer and fasting would be reading a lot. That, you know, we would, is this not the fast that I have chosen? And he said to bring the wayfaring stranger, you know, and all through the scripture, God always talks about how to deal with the foreigner, the stranger, aka the refugee. Incidentally, this weekend is World Refugee Day. So he says, make these paths straight for your feet. And then, he, as I said, he comes down and he says, follow peace with all men and holiness. So not just holiness. And a lot of us can say we're living holy lives. But when in the context of Bahamas, to see the church in Bahamas, both that there will not be a Haitian church and a Bahamian church, but there will be one people under the flag that exists in that nation, one church serving God. And it says that, you know, that diligence that is needed there. And verse 17 is, well, pretty self-explanatory for any country. Let's say be any fornicator of a famous person or Esau. And it is interesting that fight that existed between Esau and his brother is basically what has happened, what is happening to some extent there. Because you have two people who originally, two groups of people, but the majority of them coming out of Africa. So that is my interpretation of that scripture as it relates to Hebrew. It's something that is very dear to my heart. Something that I continue to cry literal tears for, because I feel the pain of the sojourner, and I cannot imagine being away from your home, trying to find acceptance, sometimes even down to your third and fourth generation, but still not having a sense of belonging.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. So that was really, really good. I really concerned. In terms of the warning to the church, and I like how you know, did the compare and the contrast in terms of the Bahamians and the Haitians. And it's very unfortunate. I've heard a bit, but not in such detail. Thank you so much. And it's very unfortunate. And as you said, the Word of God speaks clearly to how we should go about dealing with those that are not from our land. You know, what you call foreigners, refugees. The Word of God speaks to us clearly as it relates to that, because at the end of the day, it's not the kingdom of Bahamas, nor the kingdom of Haiti, nor the kingdom of Barbados. It's the kingdom of God. And the Word of God says that we must have a kingdom mindset and be a kingdom people. So thanks for that. That was really good. One thing I wanted to mention, even as you spoke about the hurricane season, I can't even pull the scriptures quickly, but we would have received some teaching a couple years back from an apostle who has relationship with reigning women. And he came to the Caribbean and he was ministering, and he said he could never understand why we would be calling? Why would we add an additional season? Because in the word of God, there is no season by the name of hurricane season. I can't even find the scripture right now, but you know the scripture that speaks about rain and da da da, talks about the different seasons, right? It gives you the seasons. And he was like, but I can't understand what you people, like the Caribbean people, would be adding this additional season and also be calling it that we must basically cancel the name. Because the word of God clearly states, because, you know, even as we spoke about tearing down and then replacing, building back up. So even as we tear that down, we declare the word. There's a scripture that says basically that the word of God says he will send the rain in its season, that the land will yield its increase, meaning that when the rains come, it must come for our good. That is the scripture is declared. Whenever you hear about these things, these systems and the coming, you know, we declare, I cancel the hurricane season. I cancel that term. Father, forgive me for even adding an additional season. When your word speaks to only four, and for adding a fifth season, Father, forgive me, forgive us for adding an additional season. And I declare that as the rains come, that it will come for our good. Because your word says that as it comes, that the land will yield its increase, meaning it is coming for our good. As the rains come, they will do us good in Jesus' name. And that's what it's declared, you know? So it's just food for thought so that you could, you know, understand it too. We ain't see nothing but hurricane in the word of God, you know, but we gave it a name. It is Brenda Lee that said the same thing when she said that. She said, if by a certain age and she ain't married at 24, this is what she want, boom, boom, boom. And she said, even as she said it, it was boom, it happened, you know? So even again, we have to be, you know, just be mindful of the things that we speak. Even as the word of God says that, you know, this particular season is the season of the most. Well, you didn't know before, but you know now, right? And that's the way we will pray. And the Lord will do what he has to do, right? He will do what he has to do. But at the end of the day, he cannot say that we were not there, you know, petitioning and declaring, especially you in Bahamas, you know, declare it. As they come, they will come. It will come to do us good in Jesus' name, that the land will yield its increase, because we know the rains will come. And declare, and you know, I also declare that the winds, you know, as the winds and the waves come, that is the Lord that is saying to them, be still. And so they will not harm us in Jesus' name. I acknowledge, oh God, that it is you that I say to the winds and the waves, be still, you know. And so they will not cover us, because we know how flat Barbados is. Well, I don't know if you know, but Barbados flat, you know? So these are things, you know, declare the word over your nation. The word of God says that is the winds and the waves obey. The men want to know, who is this man? That even the winds and the waves says obey this man, who he is, you know? Father, so at your voice is the winds and the waves that obey you. And it is because of you, you know, that they have not consumed us. And for that, I give you the glory and I give you the praise. So, you know, just make it practical and declare it will be a nation, that it will be so in Jesus' name. So we're on to, I added an additional. We're on now to Brandon Lee. Are you still there? Brandon, you're still there?
I'm still there.
Great. So Brandon is here, the lone male. So let me apologize. On Tuesday, I completely forgot that Brandon was on the call. Because, you know, you can't see faces. So I completely forgot. And I was reprimanded after the call. Yeah. I reached out to Brandon. So Brandon, first thing, where are you from? Trinidad or Bahamas?
Yeah, I'm from Trinidad.
Okay, because I was wondering if Trinidad or Bahamas. I reached out to Allison. But then some of the ladies were thinking it was Bahamas still. So good. So Brandon,
I mean, is he adopted in Bahamas too, so I guess it works.
Okay, good. So we welcome you. We welcome you. So I pulled a scripture for Brandon. And the scripture, Brandon, you know about husbands of glow, right? Husbands of glow, men of glow.
I've heard it. I've heard the name. And to say I know about it would be untrue, but I've heard the name. John mentioned it. I've heard it in Wailing Sons and Daughters being mentioned, but to say I'm a part of it or know any great depth of it, I don't.
Okay. Yeah. Husbands of Glory, Men of Glory. The name, the correct name is Husbands of Glory, and that's in Nigeria because it really started with the husbands of men and women. But in the Caribbean, okay. You know, see the culture is different. So a lot of the women, aren't married, one. But I shouldn't say a lot of the women aren't married. I shouldn't say that. I should say that a lot of the husbands, I don't even know why I should say it, but the long and short of it is that in Nigeria, the husbands, the work started with the husbands, and that is why it has that name. But here in the Caribbean, the culture is a bit different in that, well, as you know, the church, the numbers in the church, you see more men, you see more women and you see men. So the men in the Caribbean are not necessarily husbands, right? They are, you could say, like friends of the ministry, you know, friends. Some of them are husbands because the leader in the Caribbean is a husband. The leader in the Caribbean is from St. Vincent. He is a husband to one of the women in St. Vincent, right?
Okay. So
this scripture speaks about, as for me and my host, we will serve the Lord, is the foundational scripture. So that's why I gave you that scripture.
I see.
So I want to hear from you. In terms of, you've been on, so we just want to know how would you apply it to Trinidad, this particular scripture. So you can read it and then go right ahead. And just ladies, just so you know, we need to really pray about this work to be established in the Caribbean.
Yeah.
Right? Because we need our men, because God is about family. That's the thing. So we have the wives, we have the husbands, we have the children, and you have other arms, you have like the widows, etc. But God is about family. So we need to really pray, you know, because it just can't be us running. Our men, they have to be running. Our husbands, they have to be running, because at the end of the day, they are the head, you know? They are the leaders. And we establish here that the majority of the nations are fatherless. Right? So we need fathers, we need men. So Brandon, over to you.
So the scripture that was given to me was Joshua 24 verses 14 to 15, and it says, "Now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord, and it seems evil to you. And if it seems evil to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So I like to move it in slight structure. So I literally was jotting down notes while we were having this. I do apologize. I had a crazy night into this morning, but I hope it makes sense. So some of the key points that I took in order to go forward to ask, okay, what it is that we need to do. I took some key points out of what it was saying. So I just extrapolated four and broke it down. So the first one is to fear the Lord. And then there's serve him in sincerity and in truth. And then put away false god of old, which would relate to, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river in Egypt. And then the last one, which is more or less a summary, choose the Lord or choose the other gods, the older gods or the new gods of the time. That would be in respect to, and the Lord drove out, sorry, wrong scripture. Let me go back here. That would go back to this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Meaning, so like then contextually it was then, but if you do it in a relative sense to the times now, the gods that our parents served and the gods that exist now are two different things. So it could be actual deities, or it could be a false sense of quote-unquote religion. I'll get into that. Right. So how do I apply this scripture to my nation? Mm-hmm. So I wanted to, in order to do that, we need to know the needs of the nation in terms of this scripture. So somebody needs of the scripture to apply this in order for them to fear God. We need deliverance. So we need to be delivered from, especially in the Caribbean, Trinidad being the home of carnival, we need to be delivered from sexual immorality, first things first. After that, we need to get rid of drunkenness, gluttony, and drug abuse. And drunkenness and drug abuse would go under the guise of breaking down of the family structure. So I like how everybody was speaking and came down to this one point. So after the deliverance of these things, we need a renewal of the mind, because to be delivered is to get rid of the old and then to bring usher in something new. So in order to do that, we need to teach the truth about Jesus and not religion, which would go back to my statement of saying the religion or the gods of old religion, the religious structures, the do's and the don'ts, and the, this word is leaving my head, the, I'll get to just now, please excuse me, the do's and the don'ts and traditions. So instead of all these laws and rules, we get to the truth of who Jesus is, how he walked on the earth, the things that he asked us to do, the mandates that he called us to live and execute, right? And we have to do away with the false gods that has entered into the church especially. So like some of the traditions that we'd have taken from paganism that we celebrate also blindly, we need to reveal them and we need to get rid of them in order to get to the truth. So in fearing the Lord, as followers of Jesus, we need to get to know who God is in order to fully and truly follow him and to be like him. So when it says, now therefore fear the Lord, we need to, in order to fear him or to respect him or to reverence Jesus, need to know who he is first. Because yes, we have this saying, you know, you give respect where respect is due. But it is very, and this is, Joshua was the next generation, so this is speaking to the next generation too. It is very difficult or trying sometimes as a young person to relate to the older heads, right? Because of the notions and the teachings they've had before, some of them may not be truth, some of them may not be taught in a manner that, it might be a bit abrasive the way it was taught to them, so it is passed on. So like the youths now are rebelling, because when you ask questions, because youths now ask way more questions, we have way more knowledge out there, it cannot be answered because religion was taught and the truths of who Jesus was, right? And in order to, which goes on to the next slide, to serve him in sincerity and truth. Once we know who God is and we learn to reverence and respect God, we would, just now, let me just get some, my pointers here. Right. And understanding who he says he is, it becomes a little bit more easier to do what he asks us to do. And not to say that it would just be like the snap of a finger and we could just fear God, but through time, through proper training, through proper teaching, through, you know,
relationship.
Just now. Yes. My handwriting, oh my gosh. But yes. Great. I have, it is in Ephesians. Yes. Ephesians 5:22-23. You must live by that in order to serve God and to do what he has asked us to do, which is the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, God, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Such things there is no law. So once we apply these scriptures, after learning who Jesus is and practicing these things, it will become a little bit easier to serve him in sincerity and truth, because now we know first truth. And again, this scripture, Joshua, he says, you know, choose this day because it's still choice at the end of the day. Once we truly choose, is because we have been brought to the awareness of truth again. And then it's up to us to choose. So when we choose, it must be in sincerity, because further down in the scripture, I think it was down to the 24th verse. Yes. He asked over and over and over and over. And he told them about the trials that would happen to them. And he made sure that they knew what they were doing. So then after we educate the people of the truth, we have to still leave it up to the Holy Spirit and up to them in order to save in sincerity and in truth. But in order to do that, we must be able to put away the false gods of old. So all the do's and the don'ts and the false religions and the traditions, we need to get rid of it. We need to expose it for what it is. We need to, because, again, in the age of information, we could find the truth. And the Holy Spirit will lead us to the truth. But then in that process of being led to the truth without being led by our elder, who would know and who could guide us, because, yes, the Holy Spirit would guide us, but that little gap of distrust is what the enemy would use to sway us onto the religions of new. So it's either we serve the true and living God who brought us out of Egypt, who brought us out of slavery, who brought us out of the struggles, who brought us out of sin. It's either we go back to Egypt and serve their gods or the God of old, or we serve the current religion of new and their gods. And they say make sure and choose, because God doesn't want you on a fence stuck. He wants to move, and it was mentioned before with the army. He is raising an army in order to go forth in what he has to do, and he's using with the older generation in order to check themselves and teach the newer generation. And then he's powering the new generation to go forth to get rid of. So the whole breaking down, and this is why I know, because I asked God to actually be last, not because I wasn't prepared, but I just wanted to be last. Just to hear everybody else too, but the breaking down of the old and the old structures and the breaking down of the foundations from before, it is needed. It is needed because it's either quicksand we standing on or something very not steady at all. And it is quite prevalent in the churches. It is quite obvious. And again, in the age of information, youth's not taking it very lightly. And we are confused. We are angry. And you want to know the truth. And we really can't take the fables. It not making sense anymore. It really not. And it says, choose the Lord or choose the gods of old. Right. I address that. Right. And coming down to verses. Remember how God has delivered. Right. So I think I mentioned this before. Back down to 24, from 15 to 24, Joshua asked them to remember how God has delivered us out of the consequences of sin through his grace and mercy, because he first loved us. That's how I summed it up. Because before that, from 1 to 14, it was just Israel has been reminded of everything that God did from Abraham straight to where they were now, all the trials that their ancestors had to face. So just like we are here now, we have to remember that, yes, it may appear to be bad right now, but it could have been so much worse. Because just is a discussion that's up very prevalent now, racism and slavery and these things. And a lot of people are so surprised that slavery is just like 50 years ago. Our father, who's like 72, and my mom in her 50s. That was right there. Literally right there. And it is easy to slip back into the old habits that we would have gotten from then. And easy to forget what God has done for us, because we get so caught up in the now. We get so caught up in the new religion and searching and searching and searching. Even though he's right sitting next to us and saying, hey, right here, I've always been right here. So I come to the conclusion, we must emulate the love of God. So this is what we really need to do. Compressed. we must emulate the love of God so that it transforms the hearts of the people. We must live the word rather than just preach the word. You must be able to live in Galatians 5:22-23, the fruits of the labor, through Jesus and his Holy Spirit. And that is what, as the youths that are in Christ now, that is their mandate. That was Joshua's mandate, to take the next generation to the promised land. And that, as children, because it will be every generation, it's not just this generation, and it will come to an end because we're going to get older and then we're going to have a younger generation. So it's to carry on the mantle. So now, we're in a season of the mantle being passed on. So as I can't remember who mentioned it, how the older people can't go to church and the millennials will be there, it's quite fine. It's quite fine. The only reason for concern is if, and somebody else mentioned it too, the only reason for concern is if you weren't doing what you were supposed to do or what God mandated you to do. Then there should be a cause for concern. But even and God is a such a merciful God, even though you may not have done what you were supposed to do, you're still alive. And once you have life, you have a chance to change. Mm-hmm. So now that we have come aware of these things, it's not late. There's still time to change as much, because God is God. Is God. He's the most powerful. He's all-powerful, all-knowing. So he knows what he's doing. You just have to trust him. And we have to trust that he will take us through the river. He will take us through the 400 years in Egypt. He will take us through the plagues over and over and over and over until thy kingdom come, because of his love. He sent Jesus to die in order so that we don't do 635. We don't have to go through 635 or 37 laws and a million sacrifices. He just gave us one and four principles to live by, which is... I don't think I would have survived all those sacrifices. I would have died. I would have had it there. But that is what we need to do. We need to emulate and live with a Christ-like mind and become like Christ as best as we can. Understanding first who he is, respecting and reverencing who he is, and doing it in truth and in sincerity, because we choose to do it, not because we are forced to do it, or not because we are feared into going to hell to do it. Because you want to, because you wake up with knowledge, and it's like, yeah, I could roll with this G, capital G. I like to call him the OG, the only God. We could roll with this man, you know. Well, yeah, and that's my breakdown of the scripture and what I think we need to do for the nation using Joshua 24:14-15. I think I'll never forget this, but yeah.
Sorry, I didn't get any in.
No, I just say I don't think I'll ever forget the scripture.
That's excellent. It's
the first time I ever break down a verse in the Bible like this on people. Yeah.
Good. You did a good job, because it was not even looking at it from that angle. I was thinking more along. I thought you would have brought it from a more of a male perspective, but you just covered everything, which is even better, because if you really look back at Joshua was Moses' assistant, and if you read you would see that when Moses would go into the tent to meet him and the cloud would come down and Moses was finished and Moses would leave, it said Joshua stayed. So you know, all along that time Joshua would have been fostering a relationship with the Lord, and that's what's really important, you know. Like, when we have to do, like, doing evangelism and stuff, if it's one thing I always remind people, I say, well, if you ain't know me, you ain't going to come at my house. You ain't going to go at a strange person's house, right? So the important thing is fostering that relationship with the individual. And then you don't have an issue with going to their home. So foster the relationship. What's important is fostering that relationship with Jesus. You know, that one-on-one intimate. So like going to church and all of those other things, that won't be an issue because you already have relationship. And that's what keeps you, you know? Because when the high wind blow, if you're in-rooted, you will topple over. Right? And when the high winds blow, you don't always have someone there that you can run to and say, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. You know, I have a lady that has said something to me. I went to her once for advice, and she said, you know, it is a blessing when your children know how to pray. You know, and it was like, that made so much sense. That made so much sense. Again, I have a nephew who lives here with me, and he's 5 now. And like when he was around 3, you know, it came to me, you know, the importance of teaching him to pray. And, you know, through teaching him to pray was starting, because it's really the Lord that did the work. I realized that I wasn't even praying for him, because he would pray for himself. And it was like, Ashley, that ain't good. You know, he's still gonna remember to pray for him too. He's praying for himself. Or if I don't feel well, I would be like, come and pray for Auntie. And he would lay his hand on me and pray. So I benefited too, you know? So that intimate relationship is what really makes the difference. So like, even again, as you mentioned about the millennials being the ones heading back out, you know, if the millennials have an intimate relationship with the Lord, that means that, you know, that they hear the Lord. And when the Lord speaks, you know, regardless of even how they're feeling or what they want to do, but when you have relationship and the Lord speaks, because the Lord, the word of God says, well, if you love me, you will follow my commandments. You know, it's a simple thing. If you love me, you will do what I say. You will be obedient. You will follow my commandments. And in you following my commandments, my Father will love you. And he will release the spirit of truth to you. You know, and we know what truth is, enlightenment, you know? All of these different things come with truth. So it's important, relationship is important. And that's really what Joshua had. That's what kept Joshua, you know? That although, because there are a lot of us who, you have like a spiritual mother, spiritual father, you know, a leader, spiritual leader. And it's like you have to go through that person. It's like if that person is the intercessor for you before the Lord. That was not the case with Joshua. Joshua had his own relationship with Jesus, with God. Because he used to go in. And when Moses left, he was still there. And I read that so many times. I read that scripture so much times. And I can't remember if it's only probably last year or the year before that I realized that Joshua would stay behind. So I don't want to prolong anymore. But Brandon, it's true. You know, it is all about relationship, and then coming out of that relationship, you know how to behave, what to do, walking in love, you know, walking in the fruits, you know, exemplifying them. Right? So I definitely was not looking at the scripture in Joshua from that angle, but I thank you very much. So it applies to all of us on the call. So I just want to say thanks. So thanks, Brandon. I just want to say thank you to everyone.
You're welcome.
For just staying on, because now it is a quarter to. I wanted us to do something else, but I know time is far spent. Time is far spent. But actually, you know what? I wanted to do something with us. So I'm going to do it. Because it shouldn't take, what is 15 minutes? Is 15 minutes okay, everyone? Should I?
Yes, ma'am.
15 minutes is okay? Good.
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted us to be practical now. So, you know, it was a lot of theory, but I just wanted it to be practical. And I would like, I have like 3 persons that I would like to pray. So, Brandon, I would like you to pray for the church.
Miss, my phone died and I had to plug it and I came back. What scripture he was doing? Because when I came back, he was already going ahead.
Joshua, what is it? It's as for me and my host, we will serve the Lord. It is Joshua, what again?
24, 14 and 15.
So
yeah.
Joshua 24,
chapter.
But Ramona, you're still there?
Yeah. Well, I have to come.
Well, good. Good, because you know, this is confirmation because I did not even realize, because I have Ramona, I have you down to pray for family. So Ramona, I want you to pray for family. Brandon, I want you to pray for the church. And I want Brenda Lee to pray for the nation. Because we just want to, you know, it's we just dealt with theory. But we now want to be practical about it. And, you know, and it's always good when, you know, like different nations are represented here. So this is CSM. CARICOM. We had a big meeting. So we want to agree because we already know about power in, there's power in agreement. There are not many, well, a lot of people have left, but we still have the various nations represented. We still, we got Bahamas, we got Trinidad, Barbados, we got St. Lucia, Venezuela. So we good. There's a quorum here, right? So I just want you guys to just pray as the Lord leads. And I will not give you...
excuse me, miss. I have a prayer request. I would like to pray for a dear sister. She's going through... she's in Colombia taking treatment for cancer.
Okay, so
and
we will
cancer came back.
Okay, so we will do that. We will do that afterwards then. Just yeah. Before. So what we would, so I want, so as I mentioned, is Brenda Lee, your nation, Brandon Church, Ramona, family, pray as the Lord leads. So I'm not going to say 1, 2, 3, whoever feels led, lead out, and as soon as the person ends, the next person hit and go. And we just want to hit the issue and move, right? We want to hit the nail on the head and move, okay? So the floor is open to you three. And the others, we just want to agree. The others, we want to just be as they are praying, agree and pray in the spirit, please. Okay?
Great.
Okay, so it's over to you.
So I'll start. Praying for the church. Heavenly Father, dear God, we want to thank you for the opportunity to come together freely, firstly, to discuss your word, Lord. We want to thank you for your love. We want to thank you for your grace and mercy that gives us life this day. Heavenly Father, dear God, we lift up the church before you, Lord, your people. We pray that we get rid of all false notions that we have of who the church is, Lord. Not the building space, but your people individually, Lord. Firstly, we'd like to pray for, we ask for a personal one-on-one relationship with you in order to get closer, Lord. Closer to you and further away from sin. Lord, no matter how minute it is, Lord, because you see your judgment starts in the church and goes out, but how sad would it be, Lord, that majority of the church may fall to judgment in a very bad way. What it is left for the rest of the world if we are to be the source of the earth. Lord, I pray that you bring us back to being the souls of the earth, back to where you have called us to be from the first, our first calling. Lord, I just want to lift up the leaders or the people you've placed in leadership positions within the church, Lord. We pray that they come unto you. Lord, we forgive them. Because no man is perfect, Lord. We forgive them. Because we are asked to forgive one another, Lord. Because no man is perfect, Lord. We pray for them. We pray for guidance for them. We pray that you give them wisdom. We pray that your Holy Spirit give them the knowledge and the power in order to lead your people how you would have them to lead your people, Lord. We pray that, mommy. Yeah. Thank you, love you. We pray that. Where was I? We pray that you bring us together in unity. We make them all every spirit of division. We make them every wall that is blocking us from commenting together. Two or more is gathered, Lord, and we want to gather on a different scale. We want to just gather in a building, but we want to gather spiritually, worldwide. Not just regionally, not just locally, but yes, Lord, first locally and spread out so that your will be done on this earth through your people who you have chosen, Lord. We want to lift up each and every member of this meeting, which is also a church, part of the church, Lord. We want to lift them up. We ask that your Holy Spirit continue working in us to do what you have asked us to do and to fulfill our mandates, our purpose, and let your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, thank you. We bless you, mighty God. We give you honor, we give you praise, and we give you glory, mighty God. In your name we pray, Jesus. Oh, Holy Spirit of God, you are our helper. You are our teacher. You are the one who is here with us, helping us, taking us from one to the next. And we right here, Father God, come in one accord, mighty God, together, my God, interceding for families, my God. Oh, glorious God, they are so important. Families, the most important sphere of society, mighty God. They are glorious, God, and we need families, my God. We know what the enemy is doing, Father God, destroying families in all over the world, mighty God, north, south, east, and west, mighty God. Oh, glorious God, we cancel every plan of Satan against families, mighty God. Glorious God, we bring them together to you, my God. They are yours, Father God, and you say pray for families, my God. And this is a mandate from willing women worldwide, mighty God, that we have to live for families, and we do it with joy, my God, because they are the backbone of society. Family, mighty God, we pray right now in the name of Jesus, and we declare, Father God, that all the things that the enemy has plot against families, cancel right now. We cancel every plan of Satan against families. We declare, Father God, that is your will be done, mighty God. Is your kingdom established, mighty God, in every family, my God, in the name of your son, Jesus. Father God, we believe healing comes, Father God, to families. Oh, glorious God, Father God, the enemy is splitting families. When they send them one to any other nation, and then the father or the mother stayed, my God, and the kids scattered all over, mighty God. He has fulfilled his purpose to destroy. He came to kill, to steal, and to destroy, and that's what he has been doing. That's his mandate, Father God. We cancel it in the name of Jesus, and we declare, glorious God, that families, mighty God, will be together, glorious God. We pray unity, mighty God, in the family. Anything that the enemy is plotting against families, mighty God, including the families of those represented here, my God, we cancel it right now in the name of Jesus. And we declare, glorious God, that your purpose will be fulfilling each family, mighty God, in every nation, Father God. Thank you, glorious God, for hearing our cry. We declare it in the name of your son, Jesus, believing in our heart that you will honor our cry, our prayer. Bless you. Amen and amen and amen.
Eternal Father, as we come to you tonight, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the opportunity to fellowship, discuss, and pray. Father, we just thank you because we know that you're God that is always on time. Tonight is an appointed time. Father, we thank you for this time that you had appointed for tonight for us.
Yes.
Father, we bless you and we worship you tonight. We hallow your holy name, Abba Father. We enter your gates with thanksgiving in our hearts, God. You've been good to us. Father, when we think of what we see in the world, you've been good to the isles of the sea. As COVID-19 walked through the earth, Father, we thank you and we praise you for putting this group of women and men together to stand in the gap and build up the hedge. Father, as we come entering our gate, your gates for Thanksgiving, we stop and we wash, Father God. We ask forgiveness for any sin we were committed today of commission or omission, anything that will hinder our prayers tonight from coming before your throne as a sweet-smelling savor. Father God, we thank you and we receive your forgiveness. And we forgive anyone who had wronged us today, whether we know or not. Because the word of God said, if we think our brother has an ought against us, we must leave our gift and go and be reconciled. So, Father, we thank you and we praise you for the blood of Jesus. Father, we come praying for the isles of the sea, the Caribbean nation. Father, you said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of you and you will give. Father, we ask wisdom tonight. How are we, according to your blueprint, to go back to the foundation of each nation represent here? God, give each wailing woman wisdom, strategy, God, according to your plan and purpose for the season we are in to reset our nation. Because we are in a season of the poor and to reset in Jubilee. Father God, show us, open our eyes. Show us what are to be removed of our foundation, how to remove it, and how to destroy it, that it will not come back. And how do we rebuild on the foundation according to your plan and your purpose so that we can pass on, their God, the inheritance. We can restore and pass it on, their God. And we thank you and we praise you for your wisdom. God, most of all, dear God, give us the strength and the endurance. Give us a back of steel, dear God, face like flint and feet like hinds feet, that we may be able to do the work, that we will not be able to be tossed to and fro. Father, anoint us like you did Nehemiah and his crew. God, that we will work together in love. We cannot do it alone, but you will join us together as one link, a chain. God, in you, because you said threefold cord is not easily broken. So we come joining ourselves together, along with you and the Holy Spirit, dear God, that we will be able to complete the mandate to reset, dear God, the Caribbean. Father God, and I just thank you and I pray your word. I give it back to you. That wailing women of the Caribbean, that we should be of thee, should build up the old waste place. Wailing women of the Caribbean should raise up the foundation of many generations. And wailing women of the Caribbean should be called the repair of the breach, the restore of a path to dwell in. Father, we thank you, God. We receive this assignment tonight. And we thank you and we praise you for the grace. We thank you and we praise you for favor with man. We thank you and we praise you, dear God, for benefactors, dear God, to carry out the mission financially. Father God, Nehemiah had to carry out a mission and he needed supplies. He needed skilled men. He needed everyone. He needed to arm themselves as they work.
Father, give us everything we need, because you said you who began the good work will complete it. And as you begin this work, and as we network together, God, we thank you for open door. I decree and I declare open door, or open heaven over the Caribbean. I decree and I declare the Caribbean islands, including the Bahamas, the Scotian. God, when there were plague everywhere else, where your people were, there was no plague. God, I thank you as you cause us to blossom in this season. I thank you. The world is expecting the Caribbean to collapse, their God. But we expect our God to hear us and answer us when we pray and give us strategy, their God. How to bounce back. How to grow our economy. How to pray and travail until we see the Caribbean become back the kingdom of our Lord and our King. Father, we thank you tonight for hearing us. And the word of God said, if we know that you hear us, anything we ask according to your will, in the name of your Son Jesus, we should have it. So tonight, collectively, we thank you for hearing us, and we expect a manifestation. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Father, we just give you thanks and praise, oh God. You know, we thank you for this opportunity where we could just come before you, know, to just sit in your presence. Father, we are so grateful that, you know, we do not have to go to a high priest, but that we can come directly to you. You are awesome. And I thank you for your plans and your desires as it relates to the islands of the Caribbean. Father, again, we declare we shall be a praise unto you. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you, O God, for setting capable watchmen on the walls. Those that would not allow you to rest. You said day nor night give you no rest. Lord, I ask that you will strengthen us and that you will continue to equip us, that you will continue to wash us by your word, you know, especially in this season, Father, that we will not shirk back, Father, that we would not be discouraged, oh God, but that we will fix our eyes on you, you know, Lord, and that we would, you know, just be, Lord, that we would do all that you desire for us to do in this season, Lord, that we would speak your word in this season, declare life in this season, Father, that we would not be distracted by what we see in the natural, oh God, but that we would remember the promises, oh God, that you have for us, Father, and those are the things that we would declare over our lives and our families and our nation. We would declare life, Father, and we shall see it come to pass, because you are not like man that you should lie. And even as your word declares that you desire that we come to a perfect end, you know, your desires towards us is good, and for that we are grateful. We give you thanks and we give you praise, Father. I present everyone on this call to you. Father, I ask that you would refresh them, Father, and that you would make available to them everything that is required for success, you know, even as they step out tomorrow. Father, I declare success. I declare a blessing. I ask, oh God, that you would establish the work of their hands, you know. Father, even as you said in your prophetic word in this season, you said that we are good seeds on good soil. Father, we declare we shall bring forth fruit, oh God, that will remain in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you thanks and praise. We commit that which concerns us into your hands, because you're able to keep that which is, you know, that which is committed to you. And so we commit our families into your hands, Lord, and we thank you for, you know, perfecting everything that concerns us. So to you be all the honor, glory, and praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Before we go,